I don't know if my letters are big enough for you to see or not, but I've tried to write a question on the board. Are you a student? And I know there's a time in our life when we would anticipate, especially younger people, being a student. But I'm reminded of a time that I went to see a man. I'm not real good at cold calling, but this fellow had a reputation of having knowledge that I needed some of. And so he really had a reputation of being quite innovative. So I went, called him up and introduced myself, and of course he didn't know me and I didn't know him, and I kind of explained to him what I was wanting to know, and he said, come on up. So I did, and I can't remember, he lived 15, 20 miles away. So I got there one evening after work, and it was about dark when I got there, and he took me out to his workshop. And it was an electrical question, just so y'all will be clear. I went out there, and one thing led to something else. I went up there for him to explain to me how I could do something that was a little bit unconventional with household electricity. And I come away realizing that this guy's desire to know and to understand was superseded everything else. I believe that he was incredibly intelligent, and he had discovered a lot of things himself. He was, when I went to see him, he was probably 70 or past, maybe 75, I don't know. But I came away with the realization that this man I know he considered himself a student, because I don't know how many times he would ask me. I'm the young guy. You know, I was maybe in my 20s, and he was middle 20s, maybe late 20s, but he'd turn to me and he would say things like, I wonder what would happen if we done this, or have you ever thought about how this could be done? And it was like, man, I'm here to learn from you. He had all of these questions about different things that he was, and he had all of these ideas, and his mind was just going 100 miles an hour all the time. I could tell that he was a student. I mean, I don't know that I thought about it so much on that day, but I just come away with this realization that although he knew a lot of things and could help a lot of people understand things, he still felt like everything he went to do was just learning. So my question today is, are you a student? In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, part of the Sermon on the Mount, at the beginning of it, kind of, we probably all have said these verses, memorized these verses in the past. We call them Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger. What does it mean to hunger? We get hungry, but to hunger. There's some driving force behind hunger. The more hunger we're experiencing, the more resourceful and maybe desperate that a person gets. You remember the prodigal son? He had hunger, a natural hunger, and he got to the place that he was about ready to eat the pig feed. that he was feeding out to the hogs, I would say he was pretty hungry. But there was a desire there that he wanted to, and this scripture says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, we're all pretty familiar with that verse. He said, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth. So I'd like for us to consider these two verses in line of our thought of, are you a student? Are you hungering for righteousness, hungering and thirsting? And are you studying? A student is one who studies. I believe that we could probably agree with that. A student is one that studies. So we need to know, what does it mean to study? You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that in the scripture is portrayed as someone that had a very thorough and probably advanced education. He was looked on as someone that had a lot of knowledge. He was one that probably could quote scriptures, maybe whole books of the Old Testament, maybe the whole Pentateuch. That sounds incredible. Well, the first five books of the Bible. He might have been able to do that. There were places in the Jewish young men's upbringing and their education that they had to do a lot with memorization. And this is a tangent thought, but when my mother went to school, and some of you all as parents went to school, they depended on memorization about as much as anything. And I think sometimes we miss it when we don't memorize things. But anyway, that's a side thought. Another man in the scripture that's known for knowledge and all is Solomon, isn't it? He was the wisest man that ever lived. I believe the scripture tells us that. Today, I think that our concept of studying many times is short-circuited. I find myself using this word a lot. I need to do some research. What does that mean? You're going to type it into Google. That's what it means. It means you're going to type it into some kind of search engine and see if something comes up. And now we've got AI. And AI is like taking Google and putting an exponent of like 3 on it. It takes the concept of searching a word to see if it shows up in something, and it changes it to maybe searching a thought. I don't want us to get caught up and derailed and all of that this morning, but all of our studying and research today, we're just looking to see if something pops up. Just see if there's any kind of answer. I do it too. We all do it. We consider that studying. And I'm not saying that it's not the initial part of studying. You know, we study things that we're hungry for. You don't ever Google something you're not interested in. My wife and I have lived in the same house for almost 40 years together. And when she tries to explain how a transmission works, it's all I can do to keep from laughing. When she tries to talk to me about something that's in the car, and she will come across in this confident tone, and it's like, oh, honey, that's not the way it is. I'm sorry. And I don't even try to attempt to explain what it's like to cook. I just don't. I don't cook. I might be able to scramble an egg if somebody supervised me, but I'm just not, I don't do it. But she does the cooking and I do the fixing. And many times when you can ask her about this. Many times when she offers suggestions about how I'm supposed to fix something, I just listen and then I fix it. You know how much she hungers about fixing cars? It ain't there. She don't hunger about it. You know how much I hunger? Now, don't get me wrong. I get hungry, and I like to eat. Y'all can tell that. But I don't hunger about cooking. There's things that she does that I just don't want to do it. I don't research it. I don't look up. She sometimes comes up with spices or things, and it's things I've never heard of. Maybe I want to say, oh, make sure it's safe before you put it in the food, because I don't know what it is. I don't know. I remember my dad trying to give my mother some advice one time. My mother made coleslaw, and I think it was the world's best coleslaw. And she told my dad that she always put a little bit of sugar in a coleslaw, in the cabbage. And my dad looked at her and said, sugar in cabbage? No, leave it out. I don't want any sugar in my coleslaw. So my mother fixed him some without it. She left the sugar out. You know what he said? There's something wrong with it. It don't taste right. You know what? He didn't have any business giving advice on how to make coleslaw. My dad didn't. I don't either. I can tell you whether I like it or not, but to tell you what, it needs a little of this and a little of that, I'm out. I don't study it, so I don't know. I don't want to study it. I want to eat it. I don't want to study it. Okay? And many times we say we're going to do some research, and what we want is the end result. We're looking for an answer. We're looking for a solution. But I'm convinced today that many times we don't know what it means to study. Paul and Solomon both applied themselves, I believe, to study. In Acts, the 26th chapter, we find Paul was explaining to Festus about his experience when he was on the road to Damascus. And, you know, Festus made an observation, and he said here, as he thus spake, 24th verse, 26th chapter of Acts, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Do you know that you can study to the point that you're going to get out of touch with reality? And that's what Festus was accusing Paul. Paul was giving him a very sincere answer, but Paul had given himself to study, and Festus knew it. Festus knew it. And Festus says, Paul, much study hath made thee mad. You're not even able to give me a rational answer here, because you've studied so much that you can't even communicate in a normal vocabulary. You ever talk to somebody that uses vocabulary that you don't understand? Might be your language, you just don't understand their vocabulary. And sometimes that happens to us, and it's like, settle down, slow down here. We're going to have to use smaller words. Just pretend I don't know anything. And it's hard sometimes for people that have given themselves to much study to do that. And that's what Festus was accusing them of here. He said, you're not being realistic. And then in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse, Solomon, I believe, says this, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. A weariness of the flesh. And yet, what did Paul say to Timothy? study to shew thyself approved. I believe that when we get down to the end of life's way, we can have lived, quote unquote, successfully for the Lord, the whole path, the whole journey. And we get down to the end and we realize that part of the success will be that I'm still a student. Just like the man I went to see so he could tell me how to do something that I wanted to do. I didn't want to take the time to study. I wanted an answer. How many times do you want an answer instead of being willing to study? I think we're all guilty of that. So I'll let you in on something. Some messages cost more than others. And this one's cost me a lot. It's cost me some money, but it's cost me a lot of time. So bear with me. Study is a practice of searching for solutions to a dilemma or a problem. In our current age, don't really know how to problem solve or study very well. As I said earlier, many times we're just looking for answers. Is that studying? I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm just asking you the question. Is asking someone for the answer, is that studying? We have too many options. And many of these options are provided by affluence. We can be almost a pauper in our world today, and yet we're so much more affluent than other places around the world, is what I'm talking about. Instead of study, and because we want approval, because Paul said to Paul, study to shew yourself approved, right? Just trying to follow through that. Sometimes because instead of studying, and because we want approval, all of us are susceptible to this, we look for someone to give us the answer or tell us what it takes to have approval instead of being willing to study. You know who we're studying a lot of times? We're studying ourselves. We're studying our feelings. We're studying our motivations. We're studying the effect of our actions. That's what we should be studying. Assuming that you're willing to study, because Paul said to Timothy was a younger man, young enough most likely to be Paul's son, literally, but he wasn't literally his son. He said, study to shew thyself approved before God. And assuming that we're willing to study today, we need to know, what does it mean to study? And how do you study? And what kind of effort goes into study? And how do you know you have the right answer or the right knowledge or the right solution? So I'm going to tell you my experience and what my cost was to get to the point that I am today. And then I want to try to talk to you how it applies to our spiritual man. So everyone here knows I have a pickup. Has a lot of miles on it. 435,000. I went to go to Myrtle and I realized I knew I had an issue with my transmission. Things didn't work like they should. I had changed the fluid. I've done the maintenance like I should, but I have never taken it apart. It's never been out of the truck that many miles. So I pull my trailer, we get to Myrtle, and while I'm at Myrtle, we went to another place with some of the young people on Sunday afternoon, and before I could get back, it developed a second issue. It was two separate issues in the transmission. And I was a little bit taken aback. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting the second issue at all. So we made it home. Some fashions we would say by the skin of our teeth. I think it was a mercy of the Lord that we made it home. Very thankful that I didn't have a tow bill involved. I got home. Next morning, I went to go out of my driveway to go to work, and I didn't make it to work. I made it about a quarter of a mile from the house, and my wife had to come tow me to rest the way to work. So, what do you do? What would you do? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've worked on cars since I've been, before I had a driver's license. That's been a long time. I've supported myself and my family for over 40 years working on cars. I've fixed a lot of transmissions in that course of time. And I'm going to tell you this morning that I'm still a student. I'm still a student. Because every day I learn something that I didn't know the day before. Where I'm most profitable is when I'm not a student. That's when I'm most profitable. That's when I make the most money, is when I'm not a student. But to be able to make money tomorrow, I need to be a student today. So I had a lot of solutions suggested to me from a lot of different areas. It's an old truck. It's 23 years old. 435,000 miles. You know what one of the solutions was? Probably the first one to come to your mind. Get a different truck. You know how many people told me that? It'd take more than one hand to count them all. It wasn't just my wife, but she was one of them. Then I let it be known I was going to fix it. Then the suggestion was, Dan, we can get you a transmission, 3-year, 100,000 mile warranty. I'll find out how much the price is. They got me a price, and it wasn't that bad a price. It was cheaper than I thought for. I said, no, I'm going to fix it. So I took it out. I found the second problem that happened very quickly. It was very apparent, and I fixed it. But the problem that I had before I went to Myrtle, this is where it starts becoming a student. The second problem that kept me from getting to work the next morning, you all could have looked at the parts and said, that's bad. And if that's all that was wrong, I could have put it together and everything would have been happy. But I put it together. I'd done everything right that I knew to do right. Okay? That's part of being a student. You do everything right that you know to do right. I put it together, and it would move. But my initial problem was worse than it had ever been. To the point that I didn't even feel safe in driving it. All those people that suggested I choose a different solution kept repeating themselves to me. Don't you think it's about time to get a different truck? You think it's about time to get a different transmission? So I ask you this morning, if you're a student, what do you learn if you took one of those choices? What do you learn? If I'd have got a different truck, do you think I would know less or more today than I have? Pardon?
More.
I know more now, but if I'd chose to get a different truck, do you think I would have learned anything? No, I wouldn't learn nothing. I got a wrinkle in my brain that I didn't have before. You know how many times I took my transmission out? This is going to sound like I'm not a professional. I had my transmission out 4 times. You ever took transmission out? You don't. It's not like going to the refrigerator and getting a banana. I had my valve body off about 3 times. But I found the problem because I studied. I didn't give up. At every corner of our studying, we most likely have an option of accepting the conclusion of someone else. In the course of my studying on my problem, I called a man that I've known for probably close to 40 years, 30 years at least, over in Oklahoma. All he does is work on transmissions. And I called him and I talked to him. And he gave me a conclusion that was his conclusion, but it wasn't right. I didn't really see how it could be the right conclusion, but you know, at all of our points of study, this is why I want us to really get this message this morning. At all our points of study, because the scripture says to study to show ourselves approved. We can be given a solution by somebody else. It might have worked for them, I don't know, but there's no guarantee it'll work for us. We got to be willing to study. Seek the Lord. Lord, if I got to do it 4 times, I'm going to do it 4 times. If I got to do it 6 times, I'm going to do it 6 times. I want to know. I want it to be right. I want to understand. I don't want to just slap it on the back and send it down the road. I did what this man suggested, and that's one of the 4 times. It didn't fix it. Economically, it may seem like the best answer. And sometimes it is to take the conclusion of somebody else. Just so you know, I've spent less money than any of the other options people give me. But I've spent a lot more time. But I've gained something out of it that nobody can take away from me. That's one of the benefits of studying, is you gain something in your heart, in your mind, that nobody can take away from you. Nobody can argue me out of this one. The affluence of money, search engine, printed materials, influencers, optional courses of action make studying almost impractical in our world today. Somebody out there has got an answer for you. Somebody's got a solution that you can have and be on the road, so to speak, today. I've seen people opt for that solution many times. And as a society, we never discover why. Why do I have these emotions? Why do I have this problem in my life? Why can't I accept maybe a gift? Maybe why can't I accept instruction? Or maybe why can't I accept correction? Why can't I accept this or that? We never discover the why because we're always just accepting a temporary solution. A temporary solution. You know that another vehicle is only a temporary solution for my transmission problem? It's only a matter of time before something on that needs to be fixed too. And it doesn't matter if it's new, used, or whatever. That's why they have warranty work. Trust me, I know all about warranty work. I've worked in a dealership. We don't understand why. Because we choose to take alternative paths to study. Because it's convenient. Maybe because it's economical. And maybe it's because it's the quickest solution. And please don't take my thoughts this morning and go away saying, well, Brother Danny said, if you don't fix it yourself, that you're subhuman. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm trying to illustrate what it takes to study and to be a student. It's going to be more than, you got an answer for me? Is there an answer over here? Just tell me what to do. It's more than that. When we study to show ourselves approved, we're asking ourselves honest, insightful questions. Lord, is this really what I need to be doing right now? Is this really what the Scripture is telling me? Is this really your motivation? Is this really your instruction? Or should I be looking somewhere else? That's studying. Instead of depending on someone else to tell you, well, I believe the Lord would say that's okay. You know, that's probably the cheapest answer that you could ever get. And you know how secure you're going to feel when it's contested? The biggest club that you can use to defeat discouragement is, well, Brother David told me that the Lord said it would be all right. No offense, Brother David, but I'm going to tell you, I need something more than Brother David's word when I'm dealing with my soul's welfare. I need to know, Lord, you spoke to me. You gave me clarity. You told me. I'm standing here in a life or death, spiritually speaking, situation. And I need to have studied and applied myself. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, study. He didn't go into very much detail about what it meant to study. And that's what I'm trying to talk to you today about. What does it mean to study? What kind of attributes go into it? And I've got three verses I'd like for us to look at. And the first one is in Genesis, the 32nd chapter and the 26th verse. If you're going to study, you're going to have some of this attribute in you. In Genesis 32 and 26, most of us know the story here. Jacob was wrestling with an angel because he was fixing to face a consequential meeting with his brother that had threatened to kill him the next time he saw him. And he was fixing to meet his brother. Now, which would you take in that situation? What if there was somebody that came to your house and said, oh, you know, I heard Esau talking the other day, and he said, oh, you know, if I could just see Jacob one more time, I would love to see my brother. Would that be good enough? That's an answer, isn't it? Couldn't that be perceived as a solution? But the last time Jacob had heard anything was Esau was going to kill him. Jacob was wrestling with the angel. And he said here in verse 26, and he said, let me go. The angel said this, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I will not take anything less than a witness that God has given me assurance it's going to be okay. I am not going to take somebody else's word for it. I want you to please accept what I'm trying to say this morning so it can help be a guide and point you in the right direction. But please don't come to me for the short circuit answer. I can maybe give you some counsel and maybe help you to study a little bit with the help of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be the one that does the wrestling. You're going to have to be the one that says, I will not face this without having some assurance. This is what I'm supposed to do. There's so many times that we can say, well, let's get another track. You know, 23 years old, 435,000 miles. I mean, anybody in their right mind, maybe that's a true statement, would get a different truck. I didn't. But I'm still a student of automatic transmissions, just so y'all know. I fixed hundreds of them, literally, in my life. But I'm still a student. And I got that proven to me because of my own situation. All right? And then in 2 Samuel, I got to be willing to wrestle until I got the answer. I got the witness. I got the proof in my own. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel. And I want to notice another characteristic of a student. Those of you that might still be in school, have you ever had a problem? I'm thinking of a math problem that you've worked, maybe an algebra or something like that. You've worked it and worked it and worked it and worked it, and you still come up with the wrong answer. And somebody said, well, here's the answer. Have you ever said, thank you, I needed that? We've all been tempted with that. But you know what a student would say? I want to know, how did you get that? I want to understand it for myself. I'm going to wrestle with this until it finally clicks. I'm making a mistake somewhere. I'm overlooking something. That's what I did with my transmission. I'm overlooking something that I shouldn't be overlooking. I want to know. I want to fix it. I want to understand it. I want to have the conviction for myself. That's a student. I won't go any further until I get a blessing. 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter. I'm going to read about some of David's mighty men. In the 9th verse it says, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered to the battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now, who's the men of Israel? That's their companions. That's the ones that should have been standing with them. You know, everybody that I work with should have said, I believe you can do it, Dan. You know what they said? buy another transmission. They left me high and dry. And the ones that didn't say buy another transmission said buy another truck. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. You think you ever get tired studying and weary trying to understand? This man was standing with David and everybody else had left him. Said until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. What does that mean? The people that finally come out of the woodwork, well, y'all did whoop the enemy. Here, let me help you pick up the gold and the silver and all of that. That's what they came back for. I'll help you take the rings off of their fingers and the swords out of their off of their sides. And we'll help you take off their, get their horses and whatever else it was. That, they came back for that. But where were they when your hand had been on the sword so long that you couldn't hardly pry your fingers off? This is what it means to study. It study means you're not, it's going to be like Jacob. I'm going to wrestle with this thing until I understand for myself. I'm not telling you to quit eating and drinking and going about normal life, but I'm telling you, don't put it on the shelf and accept a compromise if you're going to be a student. And Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. And if you're a student, you're going to study. And if you're a student and you're studying, there's going to be times that you wrestle with something for a long period of time until you get the conviction. You get the answer that you want. He said here, this mighty man, he fought with the sword so long. You know, I knew this before, but I really know the bolts on a first name basis on my truck. You can pour them in a bucket, lay them out on the table. I can sort them out and tell you exactly where every one of them go. I know how many bell housing bolts there are. I know how many torque converter nuts there are. I know how many bolts that go in the cross member. And I know how many, where the driveline bolts go. And I know which ones go for the carrier bearing and which one goes for the transmission mount. I know all of that. It's stamped in my head. His hand would not, I think when he was done, and the last enemy fell, it was like, I want to lay my sword down and his hand was still stuck around it. That's what he said. That's what the scripture says. If you're going to study, you're going to have that I am not turning loose. I am going to win. And I'm going to understand what the Lord has for me in this. That's the characteristic of a student. We can all go to school and maybe get approval. That's what a diploma is approval. But I'm asking us this morning, have we really been a student? I went to school and I was taught multiplication tables, but I don't have to look them up today because I know what they are. I studied them. I had a teacher that made me study. You know how good I am at grammar? Not very. You know why? Because I didn't study it. I just barely bumped through. No, I didn't. I look for the least expensive way to meet approval. And I did. When it came to math and science class, I was hungry. I wanted to know how the electricity flowed, and I wanted to know the force of gravity, and I wanted to know how to solve trigonometry and geometry and algebra. I wanted to do that. I wanted to factor equations. I wanted to understand, and I studied it, and I stayed up way too late sometimes studying. I didn't do that for my English class, and it shows today. I got one more verse that I want us to look at. It's in Acts, the second chapter. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. It's at the end of the day of Pentecost. Big events happened that day. It says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Singleness of heart. You know, I started out to fix my transmission, and I was unwilling to accept anything but fixing my transmission. When you start out to live for the Lord, you're going to have a singleness of heart. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to come to the end of life's way by the grace of God, and I'm going to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's one of the characteristics of being a student. There's going to be times that you're going to feel like your hand is one with the sword. There's going to be times that you feel like you've been wrestling all night. I can't imagine that. I can remember a time when I was in high school, I did so many push-ups in a minute that I couldn't, after the minute was over and they blew the whistle on me, I couldn't push myself back up off the mat. I had to roll over and get up another way. I just, my arms were so tight, so trembly. I can't imagine wrestling all night long. I can't imagine what that experience would be like, but I know what it's like to wrestle with concepts, with thoughts, wrestle with maybe some scriptures and asking God, "Lord, what does this really mean? What's it really talking about? How do I apply it in my life? And what is this requiring out of me?" We have to be a student to be successful. If we look for the cheapest, the quickest, and the least painful way to meet approval, we're going to end up with an experience that we don't know the why about. "I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I live the way I do. I don't know why. I don't know this and I don't know that." But when we are a student and we say, "Lord, I want to know. I want to understand. Help me to not turn loose of this until I get the blessing." That's what it means to be a student. It means that we are not willing to accept a different truck. Now, if I get a different truck someday, y'all have mercy on me, because I'm not saying that won't happen. But right now is not the time. I'm not taking another truck. I'm going to fix mine. Right now, I got a life that I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord said to study. What does that mean? That means when I come up to the hard places in life, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what's causing this symptom. I don't know why I feel irritable. And I don't know why I can't. I don't know all the whys. It's to study until I can be approved. Shoe myself approved. Not just accept the easy way out. So my challenge this morning, I wrote the question, "Are you a student?" I'd like to ask us all today, are you a student? Are you studying out and working out your own experience of salvation and your walk with the Lord to the point that you know you can face Him with confidence and say, Lord, I wrestled until you give me an answer here. I done the background work. I didn't just Google it for an answer. I didn't just accept somebody's word, although sometimes somebody else can help point us in the right way. There's a reason for teachers. You know, Paul was a mentor and a teacher to Timothy. But he didn't say, just take my word for everything. He said, you're going to have to study. And yet, he looked on Timothy as his son, someone that he could instruct and someone he could guide. I trust that you'll get some of what I feel this morning about what it means to study and to be a student and to be unwilling to accept anything that's a shortcut for my experience. I want my experience to ring true. I want your experience to ring true. I want it to be something that'll sustain you. When the Festus in your life, you remember who Festus was? He's the one that told Paul, Paul, you're mad. Much learning hath made you mad. I want it when the Festus comes in my life and accuses me that I'll have something I can stand on. And I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I know the direction I'm taking. I don't want y'all to go away thinking that Anita and I have problems, but I wasn't listening. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. That wasn't on the table for me. And I want you to realize there's a time that you got to study. You got to find the answer. You got to find the solution and an option of doing something different is not on the table. You pray for me.